You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. Alex Dunn here, joined by Paddy Aspel to look ahead to the best of Sunday's action. We've got a race at Stratford to look forward to, as well as one at Newton Abbott, two at Redcar on Sunday. There's also racing over the Irish Sea at the Curragh and Tipperary to look forward to on Sunday. So plenty of action, not quite as much racing as there is on Saturday, recording this just before Saturday's racing. But still plenty to get our teeth stuck into. How are you, Paddy?
I'm good. Yourself?
Yeah, very good, thank you.
Very busy day.
It is. As I said, recording this before Saturday's action, and so much racing today. Looking ahead to Sunday, though, five cards on a Sunday, it's not the worst racing you'll ever see on a Sunday, is it?
Not for a Sunday, no, to be fair. Even, you know, Redcar is normally average enough fare, but having a route through it, there's some not bad stuff there tomorrow, to be fair, for the money that's on offer. I have to say, you know, the money is a little bit disappointing, but the horses and trainers that have supported it, it's not too bad, to be fair.
No, that's a fair point. Great racing at the Curragh on Sunday, but I think Sam will be talking to Andy about that in the morning, so we didn't want to cover it twice. We'll get on to Sunday's racing in just a second. We'll start with the news that Richard Hughes, obviously we knew he was going to retire at the end of the season. It'll be in just a fortnight after Glorious Goodwood. Bit of a shock, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, obviously with the incident with Ryan Moore, there's obviously it's been sort of highlighted a lot more this week as who's going to step forward as regards Jockey Championship. And I'd seen an interview with Hughesy on the TV the other day, and you know, he's always been a very straight talker. I mentioned this point yesterday to Garrett Topham. You know, he's very, very media friendly. You know, he's a great guy to cooperate with the media, and he's a real good man to get his point across. And when he was interviewed during the week, he said, look, like, the top and bottom of it is obviously he needs to set up his organisation as regards his own setup with training, and he's trying to get a team together. And so he said basically he was going to be spending a lot of days at the sales, so it wasn't going to be physically possible for him to be competitive in the Jockey Championship because he wouldn't be in action enough. So, you know, punters had to take that on board. But then we got the news yesterday as regards he is actually going to retire at the end of Goodwood. Me and Garrett had a quick chat about it yesterday. I mean, he's going to be missed, sadly, because, you know, he's just one of them beautiful riders you'd never get tired of watching. You know, his poetry in motion, and I mean, look, it's something I certainly couldn't do if I was his height, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I just looked on the racing poster. I mean, his lowest weight in the last last 12 months, it's 8.8. You know, I mean, it's just, it's different for people to watch him on the TV. You go and stand next to the man, and, like, to think, if you were to do 8.8, 8.9, like, maybe 2 days a season, you might think, yeah, fair enough, that's the way the job goes, but this man does 8.8, 8.9 on a regular basis and performs to the standard that he does. It's outstanding.
Can't be doing her any good, can it?
Well, no, look, I mean, you know, it'll have taken its toll on his body, and I'm sure now he's looking forward to, you know, sort of a change in that sort of department in his life. But look, I think he's going to make a fantastic addition to the training ranks. I think he's going to make a really, really good trainer, because the sort of men he's been operating around through his life, he's going to have picked up and so much knowledge over the years. And, you know, just the way he talks, you know, I think he's going to make an unbelievably good trainer. You know, a real, real good flat trainer, you know.
You mentioned his weight, obviously, as a man that will know about trying to stay that low. That must have a huge effect now that he is going to retire, psychologically. As a trainer now, he'll have so much more to offer, you would think. You mentioned as a flat trainer, do you think that it will be predominantly flat horses?
I think so.
Okay.
I think so. I mean, obviously he's had plenty of his dad was a well-renowned jumps trainer, but I think Hughesy, obviously it's what he knows best. You know, all them two-year-olds and speedy two-year-olds he's been involved with down over the years, and I'd imagine I'm sure he is going to have some jumpers because just out of pure interest, you know, he's ridden plenty of jump winners himself through the years, but I'd be surprised if his main forte wasn't training quick two-year-olds, you know.
Okay. I'd be no surprise, of course, if he goes out with a fair few winners at Goodwood as well.
Yeah,
well,
I'm
does
sure.
Does well there normally, doesn't he?
I'm sure just reading on at the race's website there, Richard Hannon is sending a good, strong team to Goodwood, and I'm sure they would like to get a stronger team together to send Hughesy out on a high, you know. It'd be really fantastic.
Just before we move on to Sunday's action, we've got the betting here for the Jockeys' Championship. Silvester D'Souza is now 2-5. James Doyle at 7s, 15-2 Paul Hannigan, 8s for Ryan Moore, 9s William Buick, 20-1 for Graham Lee. Is it hard to see past D'Souza?
Probably is, you know, because there's a few factors come into it, really. You know, Sylvester's an 8-stone man, so he's not restricted in any sense. And although people might think this sounds daft, sometimes the best job a jockey can have is no job. Sylvester hasn't really got a job.
Yeah.
You look at someone like Graham Lee. Graham hasn't really got a job. He's got no ties. He's got no restrictions. James Doyle is, you know, he's obviously contracted. So as good a job as it is, at times it will have a little drawback as to how you can make your plans and lay out your week, because, you know, you're always waiting for the call, so to speak.
And you may have to go somewhere for one ride.
Exactly.
Whereas
Sylvester can plan his week. You know, he's got no ties. He can go where he wants. He's not, like I say, he's not restricted but weight. He's a very popular guy. He's a strong rider. He's a tough, brave, you know, he's a typical Brazilian. You know, he's very hardy. And like I say, similar with Graham, but, you know, Graham is a big price at 20-1. But Graham is based in the north. And maybe we probably haven't got the influx of, I won't say racing, but, you know, probably the more dominant stables that he could ride for up here. He rides for a vast number of stables. But, you know, when all the southern boys come any higher up north than any further up north than Southall, you know, with their 1-5 shot in the maidens, they call on Graham Lee.
You
know, which is, it's going to be a big supply of winners for him.
Similar to when Paul Hannigan won.
Yeah.
It's that kind of thing again, but he's got D'Souza up against him, who's already sort of stolen a march, hasn't he?
Exactly. And I can't emphasise enough, to be honest, how big, like, Graham Lee's minimum weight is 8-stone-9. So that means Sylvester's got £8 on him, or £9 on him. That's a lot of rides. Now look, the majority of horses that are carrying between 8-stone and 8-stone-7 aren't very talented horses, but they'll be running in not very good races.
Yeah.
So, just on pure numbers game, Sylvester's got a good advantage there, you know, and it definitely is it's a big leg up for him. And I think 2-5 about sort of sums it up, really.
Okay.
For me, in my opinion.
Yeah. But Graham Lee at 20-1, not the worst outsider.
It's not, because as I say, sometimes having no job is actually a boost in these sort of circumstances.
Okay then, right, we'll move on to Sunday's action then. We'll go in time order, so we'll start with Newton Abbott's 250, which is a handicap hurdle over 2 miles, 2 furlongs and 110 yards. 9 runners down to go to post for this one, Paddy, easy for me to say. And a fair few of these arrive in decent form. Where should we start with this one?
It's quite a competitive little race, you know, as Newton Abbott do get, you know, because they, you know, it's normally top of the ground and you get sort of real, sort of pretty decent summer jumping types. There was a few I marked down, actually. I'll tell you, to be honest, first of all, I've just looked at Evan Williams so far, for a guy you regard as probably a more predominant summer trainer.
Yep.
He's had a quiet summer, you know. I'm not saying his horses are running desperately bad. He hasn't had many runners. He hasn't had his normal influx. I don't know why. And like I say, I can't make any sort of comment because I simply don't know. But just numbers wise, he definitely looks he's a little bit behind, because Lava Lamp, he's a good little summer operator. He's been knocking on the door recently, but he's a little horse. He always sort of turns up for the gig and tries for his life, and therefore the handicapper doesn't normally have much sympathy for him. So he generally gets involved in a race without winning. But he's a consistent little horse. But the ones I did mark up, there was Archie Rice, Lochalsh and Zip Top. The one I did prefer was Archie Rice. He's a course and distance winner. He's up £6 for his last win. I mean, he looks the one to beat. His pilot claimed 7 off his back, which means he's only going to have to carry 9 stone 9. He is up to 106, so he's going to have to step up again, but he's a little horse on a real roll. He's got course and distance form, and course and distance form is a big, big plus. And this little horse is on a real run at the minute. I mean, he's not been out of the money in his last 6 runs, and gets on well with his pilot, and he looks to be in a real rich vein of form at the minute.
Okay, so Archie Rice the pick in the 250 from Newton Abbott. We'll move to Stratford now then, Paddy, for the 315, a handicap chase over the extended 2 mile and 6 furlong trip. Again, we've got 9 runners down to go to post, and again, a fair few of these arriving decent nick. You've got Sporting Boy arriving on a hat-trick, Buck Mulligan, who is just finding his way back to form, and plenty of others that have got recent winning form to their name. Which one do you fancy here?
Yeah, it's the kind of race I like. Look, you can get average races. You know, you could top heart, it might be 0-90, but if you've got recent form coming into the race, it makes it a lot better. It's a lot better spectacle. Well, and this is one of them races, but I mean, it's a lot better than 0-90. Top weight's 130. It's a decent race. Like you say, you've got plenty of horses bringing in recent form. You've got course and distance form. Sporting Boy is looking for his hat trick. Johnny Farley, an excellent, excellent trainer. I've been really impressed with him. You know, he looks to me, he's one of them trainers. He's been getting horses from other trainers that you might say they look out of sorts or maybe at the top of their mark. And Johnny seems to be revitalising a lot of these old horses. And this fella in particular is on a real good roll. He's got 11 stone 9 to carry. I mean, he is up to 127 now, but, you know, he really is in good nick at the minute. Looks in the form of his life. But the one I did fancy, although Sporting Boy's got a great chance, the one I did fancy was the one down near the bottom, owned Len Dower. He's been in real good form as well lately. He was just narrowly denied a Papert last time on good to soft, and he's actually able to run off the same mark tomorrow, which, you know, is a big, big plus. Kieran Gethings takes £7 off his back. He's a guy I've not seen too much of riding, so I can't make any comment there. He gets to run off, like I said, the same mark, 117. This little horse too has got course and distance form. And Sophie Leach, I think, has got really, really found a key to this horse. And at the minute, he really looks to be enjoying his racing and could take plenty of beating here.
OK. Owen Glendower, the former Nicky Henderson horse, in the 3.15 at Stratford. We'll move to the flat then, to Redcar for the 4.10, which is a handicap over 6 furlongs. Once again, 9 runners down to go to post. A few of these not in the best form, I think it's fair to say, arriving here, Paddy. But we know that a few of them are now looking moderately well handicapped, and as such, it's quite a difficult race to call this one.
It is. There is a few, you'd say, out of form sorts here. They'll need to sort of bring their A game to be winning this race tomorrow. But the horse down at the bottom is definitely on the rise. Eastern Racer, excellent trainer Brian Ellison. He's actually booked the man we were just speaking about, Sylvester D'Souza. The Chester Maiden that he won last time has actually thrown up a couple of winners. You know, he didn't really have to improve much to win that day, but all he could do was win, and like I say, he did, and a couple of winners have come out of the race from behind him. He definitely looks to be on the up. He's a very, very consistent horse. He hasn't been out of the money in his last 6 runs, so you can't fault him in any way. And like I say, trainer and jockey combination do team up quite regularly to a fair bit of success, and it looks like a horse that's on the up. And obviously, being a 3-year-old, although he races off 79, he gets his allowance, you know, which is a big help. It gets his age allowance. So in a race like we already mentioned, maybe with some horses that are struggling just to see at the top of their form, really, the winner of this could be the bottom horse for Brian Ellison and Sylvester, Eastern Racer.
Okay, the final race that we'll look at is Redcar's 4.45, which is a filly's handicap over a mile, 8 runners down to go to post. And we'll start here, Paddy, with a Wiener Valkyrie for Ed Walker. Graham Lee booked, certainly the most eye-catching horse in the lineup.
Yeah, without a doubt. It's actually a 2-year-old course winner under the same in the same trainer-jockey combination. So everything looks on the card for a big, big run here. Ed Walker's had a good campaign this year. Calls on Graham Lee, like we mentioned it earlier on. The Southern trainers do call for Graham's services when they come up north. This Chambardel filly, like I say, hasn't been out. She's been in the money four of her last six runs. She's in right good order. Runs off a mark of 75. Ran very well at Lingfield the last day, and just everything looks on the cards here for a big run tomorrow. And although she is taking on some in-form rivals as well, I think they are going to really have to step up to the plate to try and beat this Ed Walker filly tomorrow.
Okay, so Wiener Valkyrie the pick.
Yeah, I think so. Everything looks set for a real big run.
Okay. The Ed Walker runner then in Redcar's 4:45. Great stuff, buddy. Thanks very much for your time. Best of luck with your picks on Sunday, and enjoy all the action.
Super, thanks for that.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.